This is our last program from Studio S1 in Television Centre. We're moving Broadcasting House to Broadcasting House. We were named partly in shock that in 1998, radio news programmes came here to mingle with those dreadful air-kissing, clipboard-holding, spray-painted, tooth-bleached TV types with polo necks. Since that dark day, this very room has hosted every edition you and I have heard of Today, The World at 1 p.m, The World Tonight, The World This Weekend, and our own offering Before the Archers on a Sunday. Some of those programmes were quite good in places, so we've gathered some tales of S1.
The World at One. This is Martha Carney with 45 minutes of news and comment.
It's 6 o'clock. Good morning. This is Today with Evan Davis and Justin.
It's 10 o'clock. This is The World Tonight with Robin Lustig.
Daily Times and Big Ben Chimes are radio times.
Right, 1, 2, 3, Studio S1, over and out, farewell. Right, OK, here we go. The first memory I have is of the very first programme I ever broadcast from here. It was brand new. I think we were the first Radio 4 programme to move in. And I had the great delight of broadcasting an entire programme with Radio 2 in my headphones.
On 88 to 91 FM.
I couldn't take the headphones off because I was doing some interviews with people who were in other studios. And in order to hear them, I had to keep the headphones on. But it did mean that I did a whole Radio 4 news programme listening to Radio 2. Not easy at all.
To say, get me out of the political hole I'm in, they get dug into a deeper one.
Nick, thank you.
How about you? And Serene Baines were our editors from Jim and Me. Good morning.
So, the Today programme's just finished. One of the last editions. Let's just listen to the post-Today vibration. There's a small hum. How did it go?
Okay.
Right.
Let's go no further than that.
You came into this room, this setup.
Yeah, as a new boy, which I still am, really.
For the next 40 years.
Doing the Today programme is one of the few areas of life where you can be genuinely a new boy at the age of over 50. I mean, I'd been in the studio before, and I'd come in and announce things breathlessly as a reporter with varying degrees of success over the years. But until you actually work here, you don't get a sense of, I suppose, this kind of central importance, actually, of this one studio in all these programmes. And even as I speak, Jim Nocte walks in, which what could be further proof?
Now, this moment when you're talking and the door opens, is that always happening?
Constant, yeah. It was the most frightening thing. When I first sat down here, my first day, I was quite worried about reading the headlines because you've got to fit them in around the pips, which, as listeners will know, we do with varying degrees of success. So I was quite nervous about doing that. And I'd got to the headlines and John Humphreys just got up and walked out. I thought I'd said something to upset him, but in fact, we do come in and out
all the time. And also, so I hear that when I listen. And also, you sometimes hear this on the Today programme.
Well, that's Jim.
Ah! Jim?
No, it isn't.
What are you doing when you're doing that?
Oh, looking up things and writing.
It's not John. I mean, this is a serious point, actually, isn't it? It's not John, and you can be sure of that for one reason.
John is a technophobe.
Right.
And go on, then.
And on the tools of the trade, you are sitting next to something that you are very fond of that other people don't use quite so much these days.
And that is a pair of old plastic headphones. Yeah, I don't like looking like a sort of airline pilot. You can't hear anything at all, and you hear your own voice coming back to you. These huge headphones that encase your whole head. And I hate that sort of thing. The other thing that I don't have in front of me, as you may have spotted, is a computer. I've got this view that when you're doing a live programme, you should be listening to the programme. It's a distraction. And I'd prefer to listen to what people are saying and, you know, react to that.
Well, I'm going to be talking at about this sort of level.
Corrie, what does S1 mean to you?
In one word, cold.
Seemingly great animosity. You used to be good friends, but when you arrived this morning, you said, I don't want to sit in the same room as Audley Harrison. You're sitting at one side of the studio as we do this interview. And
I remember once doing the Today programme and the two boxers, David Hay and Audley Harrison, were in the studio for the sports report. And I walked through that door, and honestly, you literally could have cut the atmosphere with a knife. And it was when they were having a right set two.
I know you don't like me. He knows I don't like him. What's the point of pretending?
The body language was extraordinary. David Hay was sitting in my seat, for a starter. So, and I was about to read the summary, and so it was that question of, well, when do I actually ask him to vacate the seat? So I just sort of hovered behind and stood there holding my script. And Audley Harrison was sitting about 5 feet away from him, with his back sort of half turned. It was like watching a boxing match, but it was taking place around the table.
Richard, you could shake hands now. I suppose I can't get you to do that.
No, not at all.
Gentlemen, thank
Make
you.
Make them!
Sorry. They're big chaps. I mean, you're the one that does the aggressive interviews around here. You get them to do it.
This is Martha Carney here from The World at One, sitting in S1 with its charming 1970s beige Hessian walls. In front of me is absolutely disgusting studio desk. Honestly, there are years and years of journalists spilt coffee and bits of toast, and it's really crummy. In fact, when I first started presenting, I was rather excited to be going into the same studio where I'd heard the Today programme from so many years. I expected something, to be honest, a great deal smarter than this old dump. So, S1, I'm delighted to be leaving you.
Studio One, Paddy. Brian Perkins, booming. A squirrel roasted in garlic that I wanted to eat on air.
In here?
In here. A mystery pullover that I think was cast aside by a guest in a moment of passion. Joanna Lumley's perfume. Calm of John Humphreys. The cold, dark mornings. And, if I can be honest, this big red microphone that I hoped had been off when I introduced Jeremy Hunt, but wasn't. Hunt, the culture secretary, about broadband. I went out through that door and said, with a rather strange look on my face, "That didn't go out, did it?" And someone said, "Oh, yes, it did." And I looked at a screen, and there were more emails in 30 seconds than I'd ever seen in my life.
Someone told Evan Davis, who was on with him that day, Evan Davis had been outside the studio, haven't he, doing a pre-recorded interview, because that's another thing about...
With Jeremy Hunt,
in fact, yes. So he'd been away on one of these trips outside the studio that we make frequently during the morning, and as he had come back, someone had left the studio and said, "This is what Jim has just called the culture secretary." And Evan is such a mild man. He said he remembered sitting down and thinking, "Well, that's rather strange." He'd assumed it would have been a kind of off-air argument that they'd had, which actually would have been considerably more serious, I think, than the reality.
I'm afraid I find myself trending on Twitter worldwide for about a minute and a half.
Not for the first time, I hope.
Quite right, too.
Certainly for the last.
I suppose it is quite small, but sometimes if you're there on your own, it isn't. It isn't small. You feel it's quite a big room. It is. It's an oval table, and we always sit for some reason in one particular seat to read the news, and that's been a sort of historical thing, and I'm never quite sure why did we decide on that seat and who decided. And then occasionally, if I feel like spicing things up a bit, I'll go and sit at a different seat.
Does it throw everyone into complete...
Well, you sort of look through the glass to hope that the studio manager has worked out that you're not actually in the seat. But ours is shared at certain times by the sports presenter. In the morning, half past six, during the Today programme, the business have taken over. You often go down there to read the summary, and there's no room in the studio because it's full of contributors from the city and the business chap. And then so the sport is sitting where we are. So we do what we like to call a hot seat changeover during that trail.
In a cold room.
So it's actually quite nice. It gives you the chance to warm up.
John, when did you first come into this room? Do you care much about it?
Do I care much about it?
Because the radio people got very stroppy when they were told to come in 1998 into
Rightly
Television
so.
Centre.
Rightly so. More than stroppy. We were furious. We were in Broadcasting House, the centre of London. Yeah, all the politicians would come in, and you know, there'd be queues of them outside in the corridors waiting to come sit down. Then we moved out here, and the politicians didn't want to come. I think the nature of the programme changed a little bit.
Because listening, we heard things more down the line. Joining
more,
us
much
in the
more
radio
down the line.
Car.
Yeah, exactly. More radio car, more down the line. More, God forbid, telephone lines. Do you know what? I'll get into serious trouble saying this, but I think we have allowed standards to slip in the sense that then the quality of the sound had to be pretty good. It didn't have to be perfect. But we now accept scratchy telephone lines and so on of the sort we wouldn't have dreamt of accepting a few years ago. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe all that matters is who's talking and what they're saying. But I think people don't like it very much. It'd be interesting what people say about that.
But who has been round this table?
Everybody. Everybody's been around this table at some point or another. Well, all the prime ministers, obviously.
Does anything stick in the mind?
We did have George Entwistle here just a few weeks ago, but possibly best not to dwell on that too much. It began to be raised very early on in the week, as you know.
No, John, I didn't.
Do you not think that you should have?
The number of things that there are going on in the BBC...
We had him here twice. The first time he came to Mark, celebrate, perhaps, his promotion to Director General. And the second time he came, well, we did the interview and... A few hours later, he was no longer the Director General. It was all rather sad. It leads to the obvious question. You should go, shouldn't you?
No, John, I've been appointed the Director General. The Director General isn't...
Did he say anything as he left this seat?
He didn't. He wasn't able to because we were live on air at the time. But he started to walk out of the door and he turned and came back and I was reading the paper review or whatever he was and he held out his hand and I shook his hand. And he went, and he did look pretty down, I must say. It wasn't a happy moment. Mm. I mean, it's and not just because he was a colleague, which of course he was, and I both like and respect him, but you don't want to see somebody facing that sort of interview. I know it was said in the papers the following morning that he'd been humiliated. I didn't set out to humiliate him. Of course I didn't. I asked what I thought at the time and hope were perfectly valid questions. And he clearly had some difficulty answering them, maybe because he was trying to be entirely truthful. And not everybody who sits across the microphone from here is, as you know, Paddy, always trying to be truthful. I think he was.